Gemara on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Shabbos. My Chanukah. As you're all aware, there is no Maseches Chanukah. Surprisingly, there's a Maseches Megillah, which teaches us the laws of Purim. There are plenty of halachas of Chanukah. There could have been a Masechta, but there's no Maseches Chanukah. So where do the laws of Chanukah end up being placed? In Maseches Shabbos. Why? Amem Adlikin, right. We learn about the Neros of Shabbos. So the Gemara uses that as an opportunity to talk about the Neros of Chanukah. So the Gemara asks, my Chanukah, what is this din of Chanukah? Or as Rashi says, regarding which nase were they koveya this holiday of Chanukah? The Tanur Rabbanan, it says in the Gemara is like, in a braisa as follows. B'chof hei b'kislev yomei d'chanukah tamna enum. 8 days of Chanukah. D'lo l'misbod b'hon u'd'lo l'sanos b'hon. You can't give a hesped, you can't fast. Shekishenich nesu yevonim lehechol. When the yevonim came into the hechol, timu kol hashmanim, they defiled all of the oils. Shebehechol. Ukishegavra malchus beis chashmonoi benitzchum. And when the malchus beis chashmonoi came and conquered them, they were only able to find one pach of shemen that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. This Gemara is the source for the story of Hanukkah. So we're getting the whole story right now. There was only enough oil to burn for one day. A nace happened and it burned for 8 days. L'shana acheres. Next year, kavaum v'yasoum. What do those words mean? They established. They made it. I'm not sure why they need two different verbs. Kavaum v'yasoum yomim tovim v'halel v'hudla. They established these days, these 8 days, to be days of halel and hodla. So when you read through the Gemara here, and I ask you afterwards, what is the yesod of Chanukah? What's the motto? How would we capture the essence of Chanukah? What term would we use? What term would you quote from the Gemara? Hallel v'Hodah. Excellent. Chanukah is a holiday of Hallel v'Hodah. Ad kidei kach, if you were the Rambam, and you were writing, we all know that the Gemara goes on digressions, and it's not organized, the Gemara. The Rambam came, the master organizer, he took all of the different disparate halachos, and he collected them from all the different places in Shas, and he organized them according to sections. Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Erevin. So where would you put the laws of reciting Hallel? Where would you put it if you were writing the Rambam's Mishnah Torah? Hilchos Yontiv, excellent. Yontiv is when we say it. Midioraisa, right? Rosh Chodesh, we say it, but Rosh Chodesh is just a minog. But Yontiv, good. Hilchos Tefillah, those are both excellent options. Hilchos Tefillah and Hilchos Yontif. And yet, where does the Rambam put it? In Hilchos Chanukah, which is amazing. That all the laws of saying Hallel are in Hilchos Chanukah. And clearly, that underscores for us the supreme value of Hallel as it relates to the Yontif of Chanukah. So Chanukah is about Hallel v'Hodah. Okay. Let's take a look. Let's open up. We'll do one more careful reading inside, and then I think we'll be able to talk a little bit more. We'll be more educated to talk about the topic. Let's take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah. Take a look in the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah. So the Rambam also begins, you know, for the Rambam, he puts Hilchos Megillah, Purim, and Hilchos Chanukah together into one set of halachos. It's called Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. The first two prakim are about Purim, and the second two prakim are about Chanukah. So if you look in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam begins by telling us the story of Chanukah, which is interesting. Why does the Rambam tell us the story of Chanukah? Hilchos Pesach, he doesn't begin Hilchos Pesach by telling us the whole story of the Exodus. So why do we get the whole story here? Even Hilchos Purim, if you go to the beginning of Hilchos Megillah, how does it begin? The Rambam says, Kriyas HaMegillah v'Zmanos HaMitzvos HaSeh. He jumps right into the halachos. He doesn't tell us the whole story of Purim in the beginning of Hilchos Purim. How come Hilchos Chanukah begins with the story? V'bayisheni kishemochu yavon gazru gezeros al yisrael. Why does the Rambam tell us the whole story? The answer is because it's not in Tanakh. Excellent. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Mishnah Torah that the reason he's writing Mishnah Torah is in order to codify all of Torah Shabbat Peh. And the Rambam even writes, it's a little bit of an ambitious statement. The Rambam says that after he's done with the Mishnah Torah, you'll be able to read the Tanakh and go right to his Sefer Mishnah Torah. You can skip the Gemara. You can skip the Mishnayos, you can skip the Gemara. Go from Tanakh straight to my Sefer, says the Rambam. Because I put all Torah Shabbat Peh in there. So wait a second. If we're only going to read Tanakh and then go to Torah Shabbat, to the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, how are we going to know the Chanukah story? So the Rambam needs to put the story in. There's no Sefer. There is a Megillas Esther, which tells you the story of Purim. There is no Sefer in Tanakh that tells you the Chanukah story. Now you should know there were Svarim written during that time period, during the period of Bayis Sheni, there were Svarim written that tell over the story of Chanukah. There's a book called Maccabees 1, there's a book called Maccabees 2, there's a Megillas Antiochus, but none of those were accepted in Tanakh. I believe some of them, at least, are in, you know, what's called the Christian Bible. I think some of those books were included in their Bible, quote unquote. But the Tanakh doesn't feature any of these Svarim. So therefore, the Rambam has to begin. So let's read through the Rambam story. Halacha Aleph. V'bayisheni kishamochu yavon gozru gezeros al Yisrael. Ubatlu doso. They were mevatel their religion. This is real persecution. They didn't allow them to be osek betorah mitzvos. Upashtu yadam b'mamonam u'b'b'noseyem. And they took their money, took their daughters. V'nichnasu l'heichol. Upartzu bopratzos v'timu ataharos. This is much more expansive than what we saw in the Gemara. V'tzar l'em l'Yisrael ma'od b'fneyem v'lachatzum. They gave them trouble, pressured them, lachatz gadol, ad shirichem aleim elokei avoseinu, until Hashem came and had mercy, v'hoshiyam miyadam, v'hitzilam, v'gavru b'nei chashmonai, and the b'nei chashmonai, kohanim agedolim, were able to overpower them, v'hargum, v'hoshiyo yisrael miyadam, save the Jews from their hands, v'hemidu melech min hakohanim, and they were ma'amid a melech of the Kohanim, v'chazru Malchus Yisrael, yeser al matayim shana, ad ha'chorban ha'sheni. And Malchus Yisrael returned to the nation for more than 200 years until the destruction of the Bayis Sheni. That last line, by the way, is a fascinating line. Because if you know a little bit of the history of who those kings were, right, the Rambam speaking positively, oh, chazru Malchus Yisrael for 200 years. You know who these kings were? Herod, Agrippus, they might not even have been Jewish. Right? The Gemara says about Agrippus that he cried when he was reading from the Torah about how it says you have to make a Yikarab Achecha Tasim Alech HaMelech, because he probably wasn't even Jewish. They certainly were not tzaddikim, many of the malachim, during the Bayis Sheni period. But the Rambam says positively that Chozer Malchus Yisrael, Halacha Beis, Kishagavar Yisrael Aloyveyem V'Avadum. When this happened, it was on the 25th day of Chodesh Kislev, and the Nichnasu Lehechal tells us the story of the miracle. Lo matzu shemen tar b'mikdash ala pach echad, lo hayyubo lahadlik ala yom echad bilvad. It was only enough oil for one day. V'hadliku imenu neros ha'marocha shmona yomim, until they were able to get more oil. Okay, here we go. Halacha Gimel. So we got the history. We got the story of the nes. U'mipnezeh. And because of this nes, maybe because of the military victory and the nes. Umipnezeh. Hiskinu chachomim. Interestingly, he changed the word. In our Gemara, what was the verb used? Kavaum ve'asaum. To be koveya, to be ose. The Rambam switches it to tiknu. Umipnezeh. Hiskinu chachomim shiva'osu ador. Shiyu shmonas hayomim ha'elu. That these 8 days. Shetchilasa mileo chamisha da'asum bekislev. That starts on the 25th of Kislev. Yimei Simcha v'Halel, Madlikim behem Neros. We light candles, v'chule v'chule. So what's incredible here? The Rambam, Mamish did a hit job on the Gemara. The Gemara was very clear. Halel v'Hodah. Comes the Rambam, and the Rambam has the Gemara open in front of him when he's writing the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam comes and switches the words. He doesn't write Hallel Vehuda. What does he write? Simcha Vehallel. He's dropped Hoda and he's added Simcha. Now the word Simcha in a halachic context like the Rambam does not just mean to smile. You know, be happy. It's happy Hanukkah. That's not what the Rambam means when he adds in the word Simcha. Simcha is a very significant word, especially in the context of Yom Tovim. Why? What does that mean? So let's just take a step back. If you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, anyone have a Chelek Vav of the Shavua here? Anyone? Look at that. Okay. Right here, I got one. You take a look all the way in the end of Orach Chaim, Hilchos Chanukah. So he says like this. Halach, this is Tafresh Ayin, Sif Beis. Simon Tafresh Ayin, very beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. Says first simon in Hilchos Chanukah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Riboy Hasudo Shemarbim Bohem. The fact that people have Chanukah parties and they eat a suda, Hein Sudas Harishus. What does that mean? Sudas Rishus. What does that mean? Rishus. Optional. It's not a chova. Excellent. These are optional sudos. Shelo Kavoum Lemishta V'Simcha, because they never established Chanukah as a yontiv of Mishneh and Simcha. Why? Because what does the Gemara say? Hallel v'hoda. Not Mishneh and Simcha. Hallel v'hoda. Why would it be? Why did Chazal, let's take a step back. How come Chazal only established Chanukah as Yimei Hallel v'hoda? I understand why it's Hallel v'hoda, but why only Hallel v'hoda? Why not Mishneh and Simcha? In fact, Chanukah is D'oraisa or D'rabbanan? D'rabbanan. In order for the Rabbanim to be able to create something, they need to pattern it after some type of D'oraisa. They can't just make things up. So if you were Chazal and you're establishing Chanukah, what do you look to? What's your paradigm for creating a holiday? For creating a holiday. What's your paradigm for creating a holiday? The D'oraisa holidays. And what is the most basic element of a yontif? What's the common denominator between all the Yom Tovim? Suda, to have a meal. Suda. What's the makar for having a suda? B'samachta b'chagecha. Right, let's take a minute to talk about b'samachta b'chagecha. As you're all aware, maybe we'll begin like this. If you take a look at the Mishnah in Sukkah, on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah there says, the Hallel v'simcha shmon. There's a chiyuv to say Hallel and to have simcha for 8 days on Sukkot. Simcha. Why? V'samachta v'chagecha. There's a mitzvah. V'samachta v'chagecha. You should be happy on your Yom Tovim. If you look at Rashi right there on the Mishnah, Mem Beis, Rashi says, yeah, what does that mean? Simcha for 8 days? Says Rashi, lechol basar shlomim. To eat the meat of the carbon shlomim. Where's the Rashi getting this from? He's getting this from the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Kuf Tesam and Aleph asks, how are we able to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif? There's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Simchas Yontif because the Pasuk says, V'samachta v'chagecha. How does one fulfill this? When you just sit there at your table smiling, you tell a joke and you laugh? How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif? The Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Omer, Bizman shebeis hamikdash kayom ein simcha elo b'basar. When the Beis HaMikdash is around, the way you fulfill the mitzvah of simcha is by eating basar. And he quotes a pasuk. Ein simcha elo b'basar. Shenemar v'zavach t'shlamim v'yachal t'sham v'samach t'lefnei Hashem. You'll shecht shlamim, you'll eat the meat and you'll be happy. So it's before the pasuk, that's how you're happy, by eating meat. Now that pasuk is not actually written by the Yom Tovim. That pasuk is written by Har Grizim and Har Evo. But we know Torah also said v'samachta b'chagecha. So we learn from the word simcha that the Torah already defined for us. How do you fulfill simcha? By bringing a karban. So on Yom Tov also, how do you fulfill simcha? By eating the karban meat. Now the Gemara says very clearly, v'achshav she'en beis hamikdash kayam. Nowadays that there is no beis hamikdash and there are no karbanos, ein simcha ela b'yayin, shenemar b'yayin yismach levav enosh. Gemara here quotes a pasuk from Tehillim that yayin is something which is mesameach a person. That's the shita of Yehuda ben Beseva. The truth is, there's an earlier braisa on this page on Kuf Tesam and Aleph that says Tana Rabbana Chayiv Adam Lismoach Bonav Ubenei Beso Beregel Shenemar Besamachta Bechagecha. You have a chiyuv of Simcha Yontif Samachta Bechagecha. But man is Samchan. Oh, this is the question. Great. How do you fulfill this chiyuv of Simcha? Be yayin through wine. So we have a braisa that says wine. Why does the braisa say wine? Rav Yehuda ben Beseira said meat. Because the braisa is clearly talking about when there's no Beis HaMikdash. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, your chiyuv is through eating the meat of a karbon. No mention of yayin. Rav Yehuda ben Beseira says, but now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, how do you fulfill it? With wine. And now we understand that earlier braisa that asked, how do we fulfill Simchas Yontif? Now you fulfill it with wine. Why wine? Because we don't have karbonos nowadays. Sure enough, if you look in Tosfos Paskins. Now some of you say, well, what's Tosfos telling us? Let's just clarify. It emerges from this Gemara that if you have Beis HaMikdash, it's with meat. If you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, it's with wine. That's what you see here in the Gemara, and that's how Tosfos Paskins. Yet, amazingly, if you take a look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Vov, the run, right? If I would have asked you, probably before we looked at these Makoros today, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha Yontif? What would you all have said? Ein Simcha Ella Levaser V'Yayin, right? That's, everybody loves to quote that line. Ein Simcha Levaser V'Yayin. But now that you read the Gemara, you see, where's that line coming from? That line is coming from the Rambam. The Rambam is the one who puts meat back onto the menu for Yontif. The Rambam says, Ketzad, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha? So he says, Anoshim are ochlin basar, b'shosim yayin, she'ein simcha el b'basar, b'ein simcha el b'yayin. Asks the Beis Yosef, where did the Rambam get this from? Didn't he read the Gemara Pesachim? Gemara Pesachim said, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, it's basar. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's yayin. So, first of all, choose. Either basar or yayin. Maybe the Rambam's talking about Nizman Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so then write basar. If he's talking about non-Nizman Beis HaMikdash, so write yayin. Where does he get this idea of basar and yayin? He leaves that as a tzarchim, I believe, the Beis Yosef, when he asks on the Rambam. The Amshel Shlomo, the Marshal, contemporary of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Rambam, excuse me, the Amshel Shlomo, a little bit after, I believe, the Marshal, the Amshel Shlomo. So the Marshal lived in the 1500s. So the Amshel Shlomo writes that he thinks that the Rambam learned the Gemara in a very specific way, which he thinks is Pashim. He thinks that Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, when he came and said that nowadays wine is the way that we are mekayim the mitzvah, he never meant to say and not meat. He said, Rav Yehuda ben Beseira's point was that the Zman Beis HaMikdash, the opportunity to eat carbon meat, which is kadosh meat, was enough to be able to bring a person towards simcha. Meaning, let's take a step back. We've mentioned this before, I think, from Rav Soloveitchik. The mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is very different than the mitzvah of shaking a lulav. The mitzvah of shaking a lulav is to pick up the palm branch and to shake it. Are there deeper meanings? Is there a deeper Kabbalistic concept? Yes, I'm sure there are. But do you need to know any of that? Do you have to feel anything to be the mitzvah of lulav? No. The mitzvah of lulav is to shake the branch. If you shake it, you're mekayim the mitzvah. If you don't, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Simchas Yontif, the maisa might be to eat meat or to drink wine, but that's not the kiyum ha-mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah is to be the simcha. Meat brings us the simcha. Wine brings us the simcha. But the essence is to reach a state of simcha. So says the Amshel Shlomo, according to Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, eating, standing there in the Beis HaMikdash, getting your karban, taking your family and eating the karban together, that is something that's mesameach a person. So therefore, b'zman beis hamikdash, all you need is carbon meat. When he then says, nowadays that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you still, of course, you need to eat meat, but meat alone is not enough. You know what? Bezman Beis HaMikdash, having a steak with a glass of water would have been fine. You'd reach Simcha. Trust me. Eat a carbon. You've never eaten a carbon before. I mean, I haven't either. But apparently, to eat a carbon, even with some water, will be fine. But now that we don't have the carbon, how are you going to reach that state, especially if you're really tuned in to Judaism? You're really tuned in to Avodas Hashem. When you're sitting there on Sukkot, when you're sitting there on Pesach, you realize that you are getting the bootleg, second-rate version of Pesach. Because do you know what Pesach is? Pesach is carbon Pesach. That's what Pesach is. It's not sitting there eating some matzah and maror, and you know, and with grandpa and grandma reading through the Haggadah. No, it's sitting with grandma and grandpa in Yerushalayim eating a carbon. So you're getting a really watered-down version. So it's true, meat is mesameach a person. That doesn't change. But in order to get there, you need to drink a little bit of wine also. But wine is mesameach a person. It even dulls a little bit. It'll help you forget a little bit the fact that we don't really have the geula, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So comes the Amshal Shlomo and says the nekuda, what Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira was saying, was not wine as opposed to meat, but wine in addition to meat. Bizman Beis HaMikdash, carbon meat. Bizman Azeh, regular meat with wine. The Torah Tamima, also a similar idea, commenting on the pasuk of Samachta B'Chagecha, the Torah Tamima says he thinks he has great rayas. He says, first of all, the teva of a person hasn't changed. Just like 2,000 years ago, meat was mesameach a person, carbon meat. Meat today will be mesameach a person. The haraya, go ahead, ask anyone. Is meat something, right? Half of you are smiling right now. Because everybody knows that a good piece of meat is mesameach a person. So he says the tav of a person didn't change, that's mesameach a person. He says in addition to that, we all know that the avelus, or during the 9 days, we don't eat meat. Why don't we eat meat during the 9 days? Because it's mesameach a person. Because we're trying to connect to the avelus. It's clear in halacha that meat is mesameach a person. He also quotes as a Mishnah in Chulin on Pei Gimel. The Mishnah there says that there were 4 times during the year, and it's not talking in the Beis HaMikdash. There are 4 times a year where the meat production is increased. And one of those times is the Yom Tovim. So you see, it's clear. People are eating meat on Yom Tov. So that's how they explain the Rambam. And in fact, in describing this, I believe it's the Amshal Shlomo, he says, it's, you know why it's obvious that you still have to eat meat, Bizman Azeh? Because the chiyuv of simcha is not just to take a glass of wine, it's to have a suda. That's what simchas yontif is. And if I asked you, what's simchas yontif? So you say, oh, meat, or meat and wine, or just wine. So the Amshal Shlomo says, take a step back. It doesn't just mean to take a bite of a piece of meat. It doesn't mean to just take a little glass of wine. It means to have a suda. What kind of suda? With meat and with wine. In fact, they brought down in Nalacha that the chiyuv of being mekayim the wine doesn't mean to make kiddush. It means wine in addition to kiddush. You have to make kiddush on wine. But to be mekayim the mitzvah of simcha, you have to have another sip of wine during the suda. It's to dine on meat and wine. But to dine, to have a suda. So when we take a step back from all of this, the reason on Yom Tovim why we have a suda is because of the mitzvah of V'samachta v'chagecha. This is the kiyum of simcha. Sure enough, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Achos Yontif, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that every Yontif, you need to have a suda with wine, and the Mishnah Berurah comments, and with meat. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say meat. He says a suda with wine, and the Mishnah Berurah clarifies, that means a suda on meat with wine. So, when we come back to our sugya, how come Chazal, if Yontif, if the paradigm of a holiday in Judaism is a yontif, the shalosh regalim, and there's a chiyuv suda on the shalosh regalim to have meat and to have wine, the fishitas harambam, and again Shulchan Aruch going to Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham, to have meat and wine, how come, and this is our $1 million question for today, how come on Chanukah they didn't establish a suda? In fact, if we look at the other Dirabanan holiday, Purim, one of the mitzvahs hayom is to have a Purim suda. So how come Purim, they created it with a suda, and Chanukah, no suda? Anyone know? There's a famous taz. How come on Purim, and again, the paradigm of a holiday is definitely with a suda, v'samachta b'chagecha. the Shalosh Regalim. When they created Purim, they created, and was Purim or Chanukah first? Which one? Purim. When they created Purim, they created it with a Suda. So how come when they came to Chanukah, they didn't create it with a Suda?
I hear the question of Purim and Chanukah. In terms of feasting on why is that?
Well, I would say that when they're creating a Darabanan, they usually base it on a Dioraisa. They look at, they're now, like for instance, this is the, when they, there are certain things that are Chayiv and Chumos and Maestros Midioraisa. And then Chazal came in and were Machayiv other things Midrabanan and Chumos and Maestros. Most of the halachos that apply there are the same halachos that apply to the Dioraisa things. Because in Dioraisa Tiknu, they patterned it after the Dioraisa. So why not? But again, let's talk about Purim versus Hanukkah. Why no Suda on Hanukkah? So the Taz points out something very fundamental about Purim versus Hanukkah. He says that on Purim, the oppression, the persecution on Purim was against their physical bodies, to kill them. Right? Almost, you know, again, not comparing tragedies, but like, think Holocaust. It didn't matter if you wanted to convert, if you would convert to another religion, it didn't save your life on Purim. On Purim, they just wanted to annihilate, genocide, ethnic cleansing, kill all the Jews. And therefore, how do we celebrate Purim? Lift up a kos, celebrate physically. We were physically in danger, so we celebrate physically. But on Chanukah, what was the persecution of Chanukah? It was a spiritual persecution. L'havirum al-dosam, the Rambam said. And therefore, the celebration is not going to be a physical celebration, but rather, what's it going to be? A spiritual celebration. Hallel v'hoda. Okay, good. So now that we have all the background, we know what a holiday normally is. We know why Purim had Suda or Simcha, a Suda, and Chanukah, according to the Gemara, does not. So now we come to that Rambam, and we go back to the Rambam. What did the Rambam say? The Rambam changed the Gemara. Chanukah is not about Hallel v'Hoda. Rather, what is it?
Simcha
v'Hallel. So the question is, by the Rambam saying Simcha v'Hallel, is the Rambam just saying to be happy? Or is the Rambam actually making a halachic statement that on Chanukah, there is a chiyuv to have a suda? There's a chiyuv suda on Chanukah, as because the essence of the day is not just Hallel v'Hoda, but it's actually Simcha v'Hallel. There is a Rambam right before the Rambam that we read in Hilchos Yontif, where maybe a person could try to bring a small little raya. Why? The Rambam here says in Halacha Yud Zayin, listen to the Rambam. I'm going to read it to you. Listen very carefully. You're not going to want to miss this. So you can go. Okay, I'm kidding. Shimas Yimei, Shimas Yimei HaPesach, Ushmonas Yimei HaChag. Go. We'll fill you in on this. 7 days of Pesach and the 8 days of Sukkot, Im Shar Yomim Tovim, Kulam Asur Mehesmeg Ubetainis, V'chayiv Adam Liosvem Sameach V'Tov Leiv. There's a Chiyiv Simcha when? During the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot, and all the other Yom Tovim. What do you mean, and all the other Yom Tovim? There's one other Yontif. What's the other Yontif? Shavuos. It would have been shorter to just write the 8 days of Sukkot, the 7 days of Pesach, and Shavuos. You have a Chiyiv Simcha. He says, the 8 days of Sukkot, the 7 days of Pesach, with all the other Yom Tovim. What are all the other Yom Tovim? So maybe that's the Rambam L'shitaso. He means more than just Shavuos. He means Shavuos and maybe Chanukah. Now the truth is, it doesn't necessarily mean Chanukah. It could mean Purim. In fact, there are those who argue that it means Rosh Hashanah. There's a big debate if there's a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. Because on the one hand, Simchaim u'Meisim are Psuchim. So that's why we don't say Hallel. We don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. This is a big debate. The Turei Eben takes a side. The Or Sameach has an opinion. I think the Rambam in Mor Nebuchadnezzar actually says explicitly that he thinks that Rosh Hashanah has a Din Simcha. Part of this discussion is there's a big debate if you let a fast on Rosh Hashanah. The Gaonim bring down that some people let a minhag to fast on Rosh Hashanah as a form of tshuva. But is that appropriate? If there's a Simcha, there's a Chiyuv Suda, you're not let a fast. That's a whole big other sugya. But so we're just mentioning that it's a nice Rambam to know about. It's certainly not muchrach at all that there's a chiyuv suda on Chanukah, or chiyuv simcha. But if we go to the Yom Shel Shlomo again, the Marshal writes explicitly, I think you guys got a chance to see this in Seder today, the Yom Shel Shlomo writes explicitly that according to the Rambam, He says it's very clear that the Rambam holds that there is a Chiyuv Suda on Hanukkah. It was established in the day of Simcha, which means that there's a Suda. And he says the reason is because of Chanukah's HaMizbeach, because of the rededication of the Mizbeach.
And the truth is, we have a little bit of a historical precedence for this, because
when the Beis HaMikdash was originally, the first Beis HaMikdash was built, Shlomo HaMelech instituted a celebration for the Chanukah's HaBeis HaMikdash, and it was a multi-day celebration that even included a very significant day on the calendar that we don't normally have a suda on, Yom Kippur. The celebration for the Chanukah's HaBeis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, fell out on Yom Kippur, and the entire nation ate on Yom Kippur. It was a horasha. The entire nation ate on Yom Kippur to celebrate Chanukah's HaBeis HaMikdash. So there is a precedent already that when you dedicate the Beis HaMikdash, you have a suda. So that's what the Yamshel Shlomo says, that the Rambam writes that it is a yontiv legabe suda, and there's a chiyuv suda on Chanukah. One of the rayas that he brings is because the Gemara refers, if you read the Gemara carefully, listen how the Gemara refers to Chanukah. It says, Kavon v'yasam yomim tovim v'hal v'hoda. What does that mean, yomim tovim v'hal v'hoda? So Rashi says, this is to exclude, when it says yom tovim for hal v'hoda, that means it's a yantiv for hal v'hoda. What does that exclude? Malacha. There's no Isra Malacha on Chanukah, which we all know. There's no Isra Malacha. So, says the Yamshel Shlomo, yeah, to exclude Malacha, but not to exclude that it's a Yontif. And what does that mean that it's a Yontif? That it's a Chiyuv Suda. So Marshal even wants to bring a diuk from the Gemara, from the fact that the Gemara calls it a Yontif, that means that there's a Chiyuv Suda. I will just point out, though, that if you look in the Rambam, the way the Rambam brings it down, right, remember, we said the Rambam switched out Hodah and put in Simcha. But that's actually not the only thing that he did, if you read very carefully. The Rambam also drops the words Yontif. If you look at the Rambam carefully, the Rambam says, they were misakin these days, Yimei Simcha V'Hallel. Hear the Diuk? He says, Yimei Simcha V'Hallel. Days of Simcha and Hallel. Why doesn't he say, Yomim Tovim Shel Simcha V'Hallel? That's what the Gemara said. So the Rambam not only put in the word Simcha, he actually took out the word Yontif. The Yamshel Shlomo, his whole diuk, is from the fact that the Gemara calls it a Yontif. Oh, it's a raya for the Shitas HaRambam that there's a Chiyuv Suda, because the Gemara calls it a Yontif. A raya for the Rambam. Yeah, but the Rambam left out those words. The Rambam left out those words. If those words are so significant and they suggest the Chiyuv Suda, you would think that the Rambam, who's being Mechadesh a Chiyuv Suda, would leave those words in. Okay, be that as it may, this seems to be a very fair argument to make in the Rambam. That the Rambam, by adding in the word simcha in a halachic context, triggers the whole discussion of v'samachta v'chagecha, and creates a chiyuv suda. L'may nafkamina? So the Bach brings down for us a very clear nafkamina that really highlights this whole idea very nicely. The Bach writes, well, let's ask like this. Shabbos. If a person forgets to say Ritzeh on Shabbos and benching, does he have to bench again?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Because there's a Chiyuv Suda on Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh, if a person forgets to say Yalav Yavod, do you have to bench again?
No.
Why not? There's no Chiyuv Suda on Rosh Chodesh. It's nice to have a bagel. Put your white shirt on and have a bagel. But there's no Chiyuv Suda on Rosh Chodesh. So what would you say about Hanukkah? Hanukkah, if you forget to say Al Anisim, do you have to bench again? Push it? No. There's no Chiyuv Suda. Comes the Bach and says, according to the Rambam, you would have to bench again. What do you mean, according to the Rambam, you have to bench again? Because the Rambam learns that there's a Chiyuv Suda on Hanukkah. Nafkamina what? Nafkamina, that if you forget to say the insert, if you forget to say Al Anisim, you would have to bench again. Now, what seems to come out, though, according to the Rambam, is whatever happened to that Taz. Remember the Taz? The Taz that said the reason why there's a Suda on Purim is because Purim was a physical salvation. And you know why in Hanukkah there's no Suda? Because it's a spiritual salvation. So how does the Rambam, where are we going to stick the Rambam in relation to that Taz? So one way we can say is, okay, the Rambam's not mechuyif to hold like the Taz. That's what the Taz says. The Rambam disagrees. In Hachanami, Hanukkah was a spiritual salvation. And yet there's a suit anyway. Oh, but what about the Yisod, that if it's a spiritual salvation, we celebrate spiritually? The Rambam didn't hold with that Taz. He doesn't agree. But maybe the Rambam did. Maybe the Rambam agreed. It's only Roy to celebrate with a physical salvation, celebration, if there was a physical salvation. But the Rambam learned that Hanukkah was also a physical salvation. Why would I say such a thing? Because we pointed out that the Rambam added a lot of details into the story that do not appear in the Gemara. And the Rav of Soloveitchik noted some very key lines here in the Rambam's presentation of the story of Hanukkah that do not appear in the Gemara and change the whole story. If you read them in the Gemara, what did the Gemara say? They tried to get them to stop being Jewish. Mivatel their dat. If you look in the Rambam adds in something else. Upashtu yadam b'mimonam u'b'noseyam. They tried to take their money. They tried to take their daughters. Meaning this was not only a spiritual persecution. This was also a physical persecution. They tried to strip us of our money. They tried to take our daughters. In fact, Rashi seems to hold the same way. This is a very exciting Rashi for people who are learning Maseches Ksubis, like you find Talmida. Take a look at what the Rashi says. This is amazing. The Gemara in Chaf Gimel and Aleph and Shabbos wants to know if women are also chayiv in the mitzvah of lighting candles. And the Gemara says a famous line that we know, that Afin Hayu Boso Anes, correct. The women were also. Amar of Yoshua ben Levi, this is Chaf Gimel and Aleph, Noshim Chayavos ben Er Chanukah, She'afin Hayu Boso Anes. So, if you take a look in Rashi, Rashi tries to explain, what does it mean they were also Boso Anes? What does that mean? So Rashi says, She'gozru Yevonim al kol besulos hanos nusos lehiboel letafsar tchila. Says Rashi, the Yevonim were gozer that every besula would have to, and when she was getting married, would have to first have relations with the hegmon, with the tafsar. Sounds very familiar. Ksubis daf gimel. Ksubis daf gimel. What is it saying? Ksubis daf gimel? That there was a sakana. What was the sakana? That the ball hegemon tchila. What we refer to in the Latin was prima nocta. That the first night, the local governor would come and he would take the Jewish bride and have relations with the Jewish bride on the wedding night before the husband would be allowed to be with his wife. And that horrible gezeira, if you remember, we actually had a whole discussion when we learned it in the sugya, because if you remember, the Ramban starts asking about Shas HaShmad. We got into the whole discussion. Was this Shas HaShmad? It sounds more like Hanaz Atzmo. Why is the hegemon claiming the wife? Is it in order to persecute the Jews and to cause them to stop being religious? No, he's just flexing his ability as the governor to be able to take the women. This was Hanaz Atzmo. This was just for his own pleasure. And the Ramban, if you remember, had a whole discussion. No, he called it Shas HaShmad. From this Rashi, it's Mavuar that it's Shas HaShmad. This was part of the Gezer. Our Gemara in Subis is part of the Gezer of the Yevonim. The Yevonim said, don't learn Torah, don't get a bris milah, and give us the women. So it was certainly a Shas HaShmad. Was this specific Zera in order to get them to stop being religious? Okay, that's the whole debate in the Ramban with the Ravid about Shas HaShmad in the sugya there in Ksubis. That maybe if it's Shas HaShmad, but the particular Zera that you're facing is for Anas Atzmo, so is there a Chiyav Yarag V'Yagav, or is there not a Chiyav Yarag? Seder, ayin your notes on Ian Seder from a few weeks ago. But what's amazing about the Rashi is Rashi learns, just like the Rambam, that the Yevonim, this was not just about religious persecution. This was also, they were taking our women, our wives, they were taking our money. So it's Yotze, according to the Rambam, that even according to the Yesod of the Taz, it's still Roy, the Shitaso, to have a Suda, because it was not only a spiritual persecution, it was also a physical persecution. The Rambam's not the only Rishon that mentions this idea of having a suda on Hanukkah. You saw Tosfos. Tosfos somehow thinks that the pasuk written in the Megillah about Purim is going to apply to Hanukkah as well. There's going to be Mishnah B'Simcha. I brought you a Kad V'Kemach from Rabbeinu Bechai. He also mentions that the celebration of Hanukkah is Al Yidei Seuda. We saw a very fascinating marker from Rabbeinu Maimon, the Rambam's father, maybe the earliest source for Sufganiyot. He talks about celebrating Hanukkah, Al Yidei eating, and he talks about specifically eating things that are deep fried in oil because of the oil connection to the Chag. So latkes and Sufganiyot, they're all very oil-based. You know, eye in the scale after Hanukkah, and you'll see they're all very oil-based. So, Maisa, if you take a look in the Ramah quotes this alternate opinion. B'yesh omrim, sh'yesh tzas mitzvah b'riboy ha'seudos. The Ramah actually quotes that there are those who say that there's a little bit of a mitzvah. He doesn't go all the way out like the Rambam, who says, oh, din simcha, chiyuv simcha, chiyuv suda, the bach, you have to repeat benching if you forgot to say al anisim. He doesn't say that, the Ramah, but he says, tzas mitzvah b'riboy ha'seudos. The Ramah quotes this, that right there in Tafresh Al, Tafresh Ayin, that there's a Ktsas Mitzvah Beribuy Asudos.
Seeing what time it is? Somebody tell me?
Okay, I'm going to just take 2 minutes just to end off, because we're going on vacation for a few days. So I just want to end off the sugya with a very quick Divrei Agada. Maybe I'll just add one other point. That is, there still is a little bit of a question of ad kedei kach, does the chiyuv simcha literally penetrate into the day and turn the whole day into a yontif? Meaning, we saw in the Rambam, simcha is a chiyuv suda. Does that mean that is really the whole day now gets an essence as a day of simcha? You know, we all say happy Hanukkah, right? Hanukkah sameach. You know, according to the Gemara, it should be like, you know, Hallel Hanukkah. It's not Hanukkah Sameach, right? The Rambam is where we get Hanukkah Sameach from. But there's a din, for instance, the other dinim that have to do with Simcha. The Mishnah in Moed Katan says, Ein ma'arvin Simcha b'Simcha. Right? You can't mix Simcha b'Simcha. That's the source that you don't get married on a Yom Tov. So you got to get married on Hanukkah. I actually have a wedding tonight. We get married on Hanukkah. You hold like the Rambam. Maybe I shouldn't go to the wedding tonight if I hold like the Rambam, because Ein ma'arvin Simcha b'Simcha. Is it? So we have to ask the question, was this like a local injection? It was a local injection, just a chiyuv suda. That's all the Rambam meant to do. It's Hanukkah. It's not yontiv. It is a chiyuv suda. Or is it a much more systemic injection? Like the whole day becomes, the essence of the day is simcha now. The whole essence of the day is simcha. I mean, you can't get married. Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. The last thing I'll just note is that the Gemara says, Eina simcha shruya. Eina shchina shora, ela mitoch simcha. Shchina can only be present in the context of simcha. You know, the Nevi'im, they weren't able to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu unless they were b'simcha. The Shchina can't be shora, ela mitoch simcha. And what's amazing, the Gemara also says that the lit menorah in the Beis HaMikdash symbolized that the Shchina is shora in Klal Yisrael. I want to suggest, which I think is a little bit of a chiddush, but it sounds that way in the Gemara. I wonder, when the Yevanim came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they came and they defiled the Beis HaMikdash, not destroyed it, but defiled it, did they just go around wreaking havoc? Or is it possible that they actually went straight for the menorah? I want to suggest that maybe when they came in, they went right for the menorah. It's mashmah that way in the Gemara. It says that they came and they were timu ha-shmanim. They weren't timu ha-shmanim. They were metame everything. And one of the things that got metame were the shmanim. No, the Gemara says they were timu ha-shmanim. I believe that they went after the menorah, and when we got back in, it wasn't just everything else we were able to retire, and it just didn't work out with the menorah. So the menorah ended up becoming the symbol of Hanukkah. Now, I think they went after the menorah. I think when we came back in, the first thing we wanted to do, it's like putting the flag up, the first thing we wanted to do was light the menorah. Because the menorah symbolizes our struggle with the Greeks. Because the menorah represents the Shekhinah. And the Greeks argued there is no such thing as spirituality. The physical body, what a human is able to accomplish, that is the end-all and be-all of everything. They celebrated the human mind, they celebrated the human body, and there is no deeper dimension to existence. And the fire, and I would even argue, again, we're not getting into it now, but even fire itself represents that at a certain level.
Fire is something that defies gravity. Everything else is pulled down. Everything else is kafuf, is in servitude to the laws of nature. And fire, even though I'm sure LP science, we can explain how gravity affects and why gravity doesn't affect fire, but when you look at a fire, to the naked eye, fire is something that defies gravity. The flames, they look like they're even like reaching up, right? The fire, it looks like it's reaching up for something higher. And that was the struggle with the Greeks. The Greeks said, stop looking for some deeper existence. Just enjoy physical life. And we said, we were like the fire. We represented that striving to not be pulled down, right? Gravity on a philosophic level. Sil Sham writes, there's a downward pull on a person. Everybody feels it. Everybody feels pulled more towards physicality. And the idea of Torah is to strive for something deeper and to reach up. And that was what the menorah represented. And that, I think, is why they went after the menorah. And we came back and we said, no, we're lighting this menorah right away. And that's why Nace, miracle, is so connected. It's this idea that there's something beyond nature, something beyond just what you see. Maybe this is another reason why the Rambam introduced the element of Simcha into Hanukkah. Because Shechina, what all of Hanukkah represented, can only be done in the context of Simcha. So everyone should have a Hanukkah Sameach. Enjoy your mini Bein HaZmanim. And we'll see you back here.